Today's scripture reading comes from Romans 12. It is read from the New Living Translation, and these are words of challenge, really. Hear these words. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a holy and living sacrifice, the kind that God will accept. When you think of what God has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person, changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect God's will really is. We give thanks to God for these words. You may be seated.
In this little book, Let Your Life Speak, Listening for the Voice of Vocation, Parker J. Palmer tells a story about when he was 40 years old and he was trying to do some intentional work about an inward journey in his life. And he talks about encountering a program, intentionally encountering a program called Outward Bound. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. And I'd like to read that story to you now. He said, I chose the week-long course at Hurricane Island off the coast of Maine. I should have known from that name what was in store for me. Next time I will sign up for the course at Happy Gardens or Pleasant Valley. Though it was a week of great teaching, deep community, and genuine growth, it was also a week of fear and loathing. In the middle of that week, I faced the challenge I had feared most. One of our instructors backed me up to the edge of a cliff 110 feet above solid ground. He tied a very thin rope to my waist, a rope that looked ill-kempt to me and seemed to be starting to unravel, and told me to start rappelling down that cliff. Do what? I said. Just go, the instructor explained in typical outward bound fashion. So I went. And immediately slammed into a ledge some 4 feet down from the edge of the cliff with brain-jarring force. The instructor looked down at me. I don't think you've got it. Right, I said, being in no position to disagree. So what am I supposed to do? The only way to do this, he said, is to lean back as far as you can. You have got to get your body at right angles to the cliff so that your weight will be on your feet. It's counterintuitive, but it's the only way that works. I knew that he was wrong, of course. I knew that the trick was to hug the mountain, to stay as close to the rock face as I could, so I tried it again, my way, and slammed into the next ledge another 4 feet down. You still don't have it, said the instructor helpfully. Okay, I said. Tell me again what I'm supposed to do. Lean way back, he said, and take the next step. The next step was a very big one, but I took it, and wonders of wonders, it worked. I leaned back into empty space, eyes fixed on the heavens in prayer, made tiny, tiny moves with my feet, and started descending down the rock face, gaining confidence with every step. I was about halfway down when the second instructor called up from below. Parker, I think you'd better stop and see what's just below your feet. I lowered my eyes very slowly, so as not to shift my weight, and saw that I was approaching a deep hole in the face of the rock. To get down, I would have to get around that hole, which meant I could not maintain the straight line of descent I had started to get comfortable with. I would need to change course and swing myself around that hole to the left or to the right. I knew for certainty that attempting to do so would lead directly to my death. So I froze, paralyzed with fear. The second instructor let me hang there, trembling in silence, for what seemed like a very long time. Finally, she shouted up these helpful words, Parker, is there anything wrong? To this day, I do not know where my words came from. Though I have 12 witnesses to the fact that I spoke them, in a high, squeaky voice, I said, I don't want to talk about it. Then, said the second instructor, it's time that you learn the outward bound motto. Oh, Keen, I thought, I'm about to die, and she's going to give me a motto. But then she shouted 10 words I hope never to forget, words whose impact and meaning I can still feel. If you can't get out of it, get into it. If you can't get out of it, get into it. I had long believed in the concept, he says, of the word became flesh that the scriptures speak about. But until that moment, I had not experienced it. My teacher spoke words so compelling that they bypassed my mind, went into my flesh, and animated my legs and feet. There was no way out of my dilemma except to get into it. So my feet started to move, and in a few minutes, I made it safely down. He then asked the question, why would someone take such a daunting inward journey? To which I might answer, because the inward journey, the only way that we will become deeply committed Christians, is through the inward journey. That leads us into what it means to be in deep personal relationship with Christ. And then that leads us to what it means to be outward expressions of that relationship with Christ. It's change and it's hard. And yet God has equipped us in the person of Christ to make that journey. This morning's message title is Gear Up Your Attitude for Change. I invite you to take your sermon notes and study guide out and pray with me as we begin this sermon. God, as we settle ourselves in now to hear the word preached, we ask that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to listen, minds that engage, Lord, and strength for me as I attempt to break open this word. Help your children to see Jesus Christ died, buried, and resurrected. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In our text today, the Apostle Paul writes to a community of believers. He is writing to Gentile Christians, folks like you and me, who find themselves in some uneasy coexistence with Christian Jews. And in that context, the question becomes how to live authentically together as one family amidst the very many different, cherished, yet different cultural traditions. On those days when I get to do ministry in the chapel with Stephen ministers offering communion and prayer, and in those days when I'm out in the narthex and I'm encountering you all as a people in this church, and you're sharing with me your stories and the various backgrounds that you come out of, Catholics and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Episcopalians and folks who are non-denominational and some folks who have no religious tradition at all, I'm always amazed at the diversity of your story. And in our text today, Paul is writing to a community that is diverse and trying to figure out what it means to be community together, what it means to be on a journey seeking to grow more and more and more like God. One biblical commentator has said, Romans stands as a reminder that belief and behavior are not separately woven, but inextricably interwoven. In other words, we are what we do, we are how we act, we are where we are, and that taking on the life of Christ, receiving Him, being in personal relationship, brings about, pushes us to a change in life. I don't know that I dare say this when I was talking to a couple of colleagues on yesterday about my message and was kind of walking through it and got to this part of the message and told them I was going to share a quote from Charles Darwin. They said, in that Kansas pulpit, you're going to dare to share a quote from Charles Darwin? They said, more power to you. But anyway, Charles Darwin once said, it is not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent. It is the one that is most adaptable to change. In Christian theology, as various theologians work to interpret the ministry of Jesus Christ, we encounter the Greek word soter, which means savior. And as I think about that, along with that comes the idea of conversion, deliverer, faith builder. And I'm reminded, I don't know how many of you saw the movie Superman, the newest Superman movie, but I'm reminded of a scene in that movie where Superman and Lois Lane are standing on a balcony, and Lois Lane is saying to Superman, do you really think the world is looking for a savior? To which Superman responds, do you hear, can you hear the cries of the people? And she's like, no. And he says, well, day in and day out, I'm listening, I'm hearing the cries of the people. They need a savior. And as we think about change and we think about the adversity and the obstacles we come up against, we need a savior. And closely connected to that word soter, that noun, the idea of savior, the Greek word for salvation, we sometimes hear it as we talk to one another about being Christians. We hear people say that I am into the salvation of Jesus Christ, or I know about the salvation of Jesus Christ, or I'm a part of the salvation of Jesus Christ. And that word soter is connected then to the word soteria, and the word soteria means salvation, and that brings with it the idea of deliverance and preservation, or being brought into safety. Oftentimes when we are faced with the darkness and the uncertainty of life ahead, as we come up against the hard, harsh, rocky forces of life, we find ourselves like Parker Palmer, emotionally fearful, frozen in our minds and therefore in our bodies. And then if we're going to do something, if we're going to act in any way, what we do is we swing to the left or to the right, trying desperately not to go down into the center to get into the hold. We are afraid of the center of ourselves where Christ lives. As a matter of fact, that profound, prolific writer, poet, wisdom writer, Annie Taylor says that in our embarking on that inward journey, with all of its uncertainties, with all of its difficulties and dangers, we work to externalize everything. Parker Palmer says, it is so much easier to deal with the external world, to spend our lives manipulating material institutions and other people instead of dealing with our souls. And yet our life in Christ calls us to that very thing. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've been in the journey. It's a continuous work. You see, change involves altering the status quo. It involves constructing new mental models, paradigm shifts, if you will. Paul, as he wrote in this treatise, this letter, had a vision for renewal of what he called in that first chapter of the book, the unfit mind. He believed that the mind renewed and its ability to think for itself then should be used to lead to what pleases God. And that means work in and work on our souls. This year I'll turn 50. And over the past few years, I have noticed some significant changes in my body, the shape. I find myself thinking constantly about how I might redo my wardrobe to accommodate my growing physical landscape. There are changes in my ability to think. I am finding that I can't do things the way that I used to. I have to put on glasses in ways that I didn't have to do. I can't keep the hours I used to. I can't eat the way I used to. I can't even think about eating the way I used to. The ways in which I have my devotional life, the ways in which I give myself to friends and family and church, I am having to rethink my life, the demands that are on my life. I find myself on this inward journey into this center that is a bit scary, but that is the only work and the only way that I can make a change in my life. I don't know who it is who said this, but someone has said, our life in Christ, our life with Christ, should reflect what it means to live authentically without external pressure, without giving into it, so that what proceeds from the transformation of our thinking reflects the image of God. And that is our vocation. Our vocation is to dig deep into ourselves and to figure out that relationship with Christ and what it means, so that we're being transformed more and more every day into the likeness of God. So that as we encounter the world, who is trying to do the same thing and sometimes doesn't have the answers that we have, as we encounter the world, they see the likeness of God in us and they are drawn to the God who created them. It's about getting outside the box. And to get outside the box, we have to think outside the box. And yet so oftentimes, too many demands keep us from exploring unfamiliar solutions. There's a picture of Christopher Robbins and Edward Bear on the screen, and I love that Winnie the Pooh character or characters. And we see Edward Bear coming down the stairs, bump, bump, bump on the back of his head behind Christopher Robbins. And if we could get inside the mind of Edward Bear and his thinking, I can almost hear his thinking going something like this, saying as far as he knows, the only way coming downstairs is that bump, bump, bump. But sometimes he feels there really is another way. If only he could stop bumping for a moment and think of it. Change is hard, and we come up against so many obstacles, and we feel trapped inside of a box, and we can't figure out how to stop for a moment and get a hold of another solution. And yet, the reality is that the more dramatic the change, the more obstacles we encounter. And that's where the process of transformation takes place. I had the privilege this past 2 weeks of teaching course of study students, licensed local pastors who are on a journey to become full-fledged pastors, if you will. And within our United Methodist tradition, there are several ways to become pastors, and the licensed local pastor is one route. And I taught personal and social ethics, and I taught it along with a professor from St. Paul, a powerful expert, if you will, on Wesleyan theology. And he taught the Wesleyan movement. And I learned so much and was reminded of so much of our tradition and our history. And I was struck as he lifted up a formidable figure in our history. Her name is Phoebe Palmer. And she was an influence in the 1800s. And actually her ministry is starting to influence us more. She was a part of the holiness movement. And as historians look back at her life and investigate her life, there is talk that she will become one of the greatest influence, if you will, one of the greatest marks on the influence of Methodism and holiness in the life of the whole life of the religious community, if you will. But I was struck by the fact that in the 1800s, this white, middle-class female up against so many obstacles. Sometimes even John Wesley, who they were in partnership together in the same tradition, she came up against obstacles with him because she didn't quite see holiness coming about the same way that he did. And yet in the midst of that, in the midst of the fact that she was female and white and middle class and Methodism wasn't so favored, she pushed forward. And she pushed forward because her faith said, her relationship in Christ, her faith that the relationship in Christ was so significant and so transforming that it would overcome. And we can see the fruits of that today. As a matter of fact, you'll notice on your study notes, on the guide, on the outline, there's a word there called sanctification. And sanctification is just that. It describes a Christian life that is in process, working towards a goal that is faith-directed, that believes that its center and its power and its strength comes in that personal relationship with Christ. What I am proposing is we can't just think it. We can't just think about our relationship. We can't just sit. If we think about it, we must do something. And if we will do something, our thinking will change. In the passage of Scripture, we are called to allow our bodies to be holy and a living sacrifice. Now, quite honestly, I don't really like the word sacrifice. At least I didn't until I dug into it just a little bit more. Matter of fact, the image that comes in my mind is the image of the Old Testament where there are bulls and sheep and goats being offered on the altar. And I'm thinking, oh, that's bloody. That doesn't sound good to me. But when you dig into the word sacrifice, you realize that it is connected to the word sacred. The word sacred comes out of that. And as I think about that, I'm reminded of Pastor Nicole Connard, one of our newest pastors of prayer and membership assistant ministry, and how she's been talking to her team about ways in which she can bring our community into a more sacredness of life through prayer and other means. And they've been bantering around ideas about sacred space, helping us to learn what it means to create sacred space at home and sacred space in our workplaces and sacred space more in ourselves and with ourselves. And so what I'm trying to say is we can't just think ourselves into rich prayer lives. We can't just think ourselves into sacredness. We must do something. We must practice. Some of you may be familiar with the movie Miracle. It's an old movie. It's a true story about Coach Herbert Brooks, who takes good hockey players from various hockey teams in the United States and transforms them into a world-class hockey team representative of the United States. Now, it's kind of interesting, as the true story goes, they were slotted against a world power, the Russians, who had held that Olympic status for some 10 years or so. And as they went into playing the competition, the statistics were something like they had a 1 in 100 chance of winning. And in the scene that we're going to see, there is a practice that has come at the end of a preliminary game, a game in which the individual team members have not played as a team. They've sought their own glory. They've sought their own whims, if you will. And this coach has been working fervently, feverishly, to get them transformed in their thinking so that they can present themselves in such a way so that they can win. As we watch the scene, the camera will pan the faces of the players, and you'll see them in excruciating pain. The camera will also pan the faces of the practice coach and the team's physician, and you can see on their faces as they're looking at Coach Brooks that they're thinking, surely he has lost his mind in the way that he's pushing the team. The practice has gone on for 2 hours. And you can hear their breathing and you can see them just worn out. At that moment, all of the practice, all of the pushing gets them to the place of transformed thinking. Transformed being, that they might win the race, the competition that is set before them. In our text today, Paul was trying to teach and lead the church at Corinth in that first century that belief and practice are twins. And that we must think, we must act, we must practice, we must use our bodies into figuring out what is pleasing and acceptable to God. It doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, it doesn't matter. If we will do it, that transformation, that inward process, that centering more fully on God will come about. Last week, Pastor Karen encouraged us to equip ourselves with tools. She pulled tools out of her chest, her toolbox, for the journey of godly living by encouraging us to sign up for disciple studies or Christian believer classes. The study notes for this week are designed to walk you through varied scripture readings and thought-provoking questions to help move you along in bringing behavior and thinking into alignment with your God relationship. Our founder of Methodism, John Wesley, talked about the way into holiness and sanctification and teaches us that a God-pleasing life comes through spiritual disciplines. And you can get these out at the connection point, and we've passed these out before, but on them are listed those spiritual disciplines, some of those spiritual disciplines, and they are public worship and scripture reading and holy communion and prayer and fasting and participating in small groups. Our prayer guide for the week introduces you to a simple change technique called breath prayers. And at the connection point, you can also pick up a laminated postcard which describes in detail, just like the prayer guide does, breath prayers. It doesn't use the same scripture reference that the prayer guide uses. It uses another, but it walks you in detail through a simple little change technique that will help you center and get focused and more aware of God present with you so that your life is being influenced every moment. You can take this prayer card, if you will, this prayer card with you, and you can put it in your briefcase or in your purse and pull it out when you're sitting in the doctor's office, or you can think about it when you're sitting in your car and road rage is trying to tempt you. And it's just a simple technique, a simple change that moves you into a greater transformational life. On the screen in just a few minutes, you'll see some pictures from my vacation, the middle of June, I took with my youngest daughter, Savannah, my 13-year-old. And we were in California. We took advantage of this trip on the end of some work, and we were up and down the coast of the southern coast, and actually went to the northern coast because I'm from Oakland, California. And at the point of this picture, we were in Monterey, and you see Savannah there. She's geared up for a bicycle ride that we decided to take one morning. And it was a beautiful morning. It was about 70, maybe a little more than that. And the place where we stayed was nestled on a hill, but in a beautiful shroud, if you will, of trees, and just absolutely gorgeous. And on that morning, we geared ourselves up and we took our ride down the hill from the hotel and down on the highway and then over to the pathway that had been created for bike rides. And you can see there, I'm taking a picture of Savannah. I'm letting her get ahead of me on that path. And we ride along. We're going along the beach. The path takes you along the beach, and you'll see pictures of trees. And then we ride a little bit further, and as we get more along the beach, I notice that there is a gentleman there gearing up for a kayak ride, and he's talking to his daughter, and I can hear him as I'm riding along. I can hear him trying to coach his daughter along. I think maybe she's 5 or 6, and it's a little bit cool in the water, we learn later on, and she's like, no, Daddy, no, and he's trying to coach her along. I mean, we see so many sights along that way. I remember these folks here. I'm assuming that they were homeless and they were all geared up, if you will, with their goods, and they were kind of watching the folks as they went along. Well, as we'd made that beautiful trip, coming down that beautiful hill and along that pathway, then of course as we got ready to go back, it meant going up the hill. There you see the entrance to the hotel, and that means that you're at the top of the hill. But I actually did not get a picture of the hill because as I hit that hill and it dawned on me, I've got to get back up that hill with this bike. I didn't have much energy to take pictures. My mind went to contemplating, how are we going to figure this out? And so I began to strategize in my mind. I thought I had it all together. Somebody in the last service says, no, Yolanda, you didn't have it all together. Your strategy was wrong. But I shouted my strategy to Savannah. I said, Savannah, here's what we're going to do. You know that flat part of the road, we're gonna really gear ourselves up, and we're going to really give a lot of energy in that low gear to pedaling. And then when we get to the incline of that hill, we're going to switch into the high power gear, and then we're going to pedal as hard as we can, and we're going to make it up the hill. She says, okay, Mom, I don't think you have it right, but okay. And she goes. A few minutes later, I look up the hill, and there's Savannah. But I'm not up the hill. I'm midway the hill. And realizing I'm breathing hard, I didn't do this very well. My strategy is not working. So I'm looking up the hill, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I can walk the bike up the hill, or I can go back down the hill and try to gear up and do it again. Well, as I look up the hill, I look at the bike. I'm thinking, boy, this is a lot of bike to walk up that hill. I'm going to go back down the hill. I'm going to see if I can't get some momentum going. I'm going to try this again. So I go back down the hill. I go just a little bit farther back down the hill on the flat part of the ground, on flat part of the road. And I start bicycling. I get to the incline of the hill, I switch gears, and I'm powering up. I get midway, and I realize, you know what, I'm not going to make this. And in that moment, I determine that, you know what, we'll come back next year. And in the meantime, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to work on strengthening my body. I'm going to learn some things about bicycling that I don't know, and I'm going to make it up that hill. So I walk the bike up, and my daughter's standing up there looking at me like only a 13-year-old can, with that smirk on her face like, Mom, you are so goofy. But you know what? That's what our Christian adventure trip is all about. The work of Jesus' saving grace through salvation is really about gearing us and equipping us for the changes in life. And if we will regularly set our minds on Him, exercise ourselves into His presence, and getting in to know who He is, we will be equipped for whatever challenging slopes of life we may happen to face. And not only will we be equipped for the challenges, we will also, in that process of engaging change, discover what God wants us to do and what is pleasing to God. And that is our vocation. That's really what it's all about. No matter what you're doing in life, really, that is the nuts and bolts of it. And then you'll be blessed. I mean, you will be blessed. You'll feel significant and important, and you'll feel of value. That's the bottom line message for this morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why don't you pray with me as I close our time in this sermon? Lord, you know how your children. You know how it has challenged them. inspired them, maybe even angered them. Maybe it exposed something they didn't even know was there. But whatever is going on in their inward hearts, oh God, my prayer is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would give them the sense of what it means to regroup, to shift thinking, to shift gears, and to rest and to ride on, oh God, your assurance that you are more than able to handle it. In the name of Jesus, I offer this prayer. Amen.